Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature, swimming creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas. Let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. We have been studying, are studying God's creation. It begins, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God does not prove himself to man. He simply declares himself. And besides, Scripture says, the heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Man's, these things are clearly reveal his power and Godhead. He doesn't prove himself, nor should he. And nor should we. We get in trouble when we try to explain the unexplainable. We reveal our ignorance. God does not explain himself. He just declares it. Modern man makes an attempt to explain things, and what he does about his theories is he just adds a few billion years to make the impossible seem possible. But we just believe what the Lord has said, and by faith, but we clearly see that heaven's firmament, creation clearly reveals his eternal power, that there is a all-wise, infinitely glorious creator revealed by the things created. This fifth day is God's creation of fish and fowl. Fish and fowl. Fish of every shape, form, size, color. Fowl to fly in the air of every shape, form, size, and color. He says abundantly. Abundantly. Let the waters bring forth abundantly, and the fowl abundantly. Nothing proves our great Creator more than the diversity of creatures in the seas and in the skies. The many, many, many different kinds of fish and fowl that are on the earth. Nothing proves our Creator more than the diversity of it. And look at Psalm 104. This is good. Psalm 104. The creation story begins and ends in God's due order. And before these first living creatures were created, God set a table for them. Remember? He created the plant life, the vegetation, the herbs, and so forth in the earth and the seas, setting a table for man and beast, fish and fowl. Psalm 104, it's a wonderful psalm. Verse 13, this whole psalm is about God's creation. Verse 13, he watereth the hills from his chambers, that earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the herb, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, oil to make his face to shine, bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir tree are her house. Down to verse 24. O Lord, how manifold, how many are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping or swimming, innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. And there is that Leviathan, or whale, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That you give them, they gather, you open your hand, they're filled with good. Hide your face their trouble. So, my, how many there are that God created, fish and fowl. How many and how diverse? How many different kinds? How many different species? Fish and fowl. It couldn't be any creature more different than fish and fowl, could it? Fish, and these very things prove our great Creator too, the diversity of creatures. But fish have scales and fowl have feathers, don't they? Fish have fins and fowl have wings. Scales and feathers are their covering. We've looked before how that man is the only creature on earth that is not born with a covering and must have one all the days of his life. And that's by design. God made it that way because Christ is our covering, our clothing. And then fish and fowl, they have fins and wings for their locomotion. Man can't either swim like a fish or fly like a bird, can it? Yet we fancy ourselves to be some kind of higher creature. When actually we're earthbound, not much greater than a worm, or earthbound. Dumber than an ox is what we are, and an ass. Our Lord said that, didn't he? The ass knows his owner, the ox knows his owner, the ass knows his master crib. Creatures know their creator, the birds wake up singing unto him, and man doth not know nor consider. What a fool he is. The fool, Scripture says, hath said, there's no God. Fish. How many fish are there? There are oceans and seas, lakes, rivers, streams, ponds. They're all full. Full. Earth is the Lord, Scripture says, and the fullness thereof. He filled them up with fish. Before the fall of man, fish were not food for man, nor beast, or each other. Nothing ate one another before the fall of man. But they were created for God's glory, and I have to believe for His enjoyment. And I don't think I'm becoming too familiar when I say that much as we would enjoy and do enjoy, like an aquarium or something, our Lord made things for His own enjoyment. That's what Proverbs 8 says that concerning Christ, who was before time, who said, it said of Him that He rejoiced in the habitable parts of the earth. I believe the Lord came down and enjoyed that garden He created. Well, after the fall, though, fish and fowl became food for man and beast, didn't it? And each other. And in the Creator's good providence, there's an endless supply, an endless replenishable source of food for man and beast in His good providence. I was watching one of these nature programs. I love to watch them. And they showed this this 3 square mile swarm of shad in the ocean. Shad are fish about that long, little silver fish that every larger fish in the ocean feeds off of those fish. It was 3 square miles in size, this swarm or school of fish. 3 square miles. And as you know, like birds that fly, fish don't even touch one another. This mass of fish. Well, they were just out there in the middle of the ocean, and here came all these other fish. Sharks and all manner of big fish, and had a feeding frenzy. That's what they were there for, those shad. And before it was all over, when it was all over, there was not one single shad left. Amazing. Amazing. Now that's just one small part of that, of a vast ocean. Just one small, 3 square miles of a, how many square miles of ocean are there? Water. 2/3 of the earth. Fish. Look at verse 21. God created great whales. Great whales. The Lord mentions the whale often in the Scriptures to His great glory. Great glory of the great Creator You know, as we've talked about diversity, you have little shrimp, and then you have whales. Where's evolution and all that? I'm not going to address that. But the Leviathan or the whale is mentioned many times. Look at Job 41, the book of Job, right before the Psalms. Job 41. Job, which is thought to be the oldest recorded book in Scripture. Job lived during the time of Abraham. This was actually written before the first five books of Moses were recorded. But Job 41, look at verse 25. The Lord is speaking of His creation. Job 41, verse 25. God is speaking Himself. He speaks of the great whale. He says, "When He raiseth up Himself, the mighty, that is, men are afraid, just tremble, by reasons of breakings, they purify Himself. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, the habergeon." Verse 27, "He esteemeth iron as straw, breaking iron ships, and brass as rotten wood." His strength is amazing. Verse 31, "He maketh the deep," that is the sea, "to boil like a pot, maketh the sea like a pot of ointment." Verse 33 and 4, "Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things." He's the king over all the children of pride. Oh my. The largest whale on earth, the largest animal on earth is a whale, but a mammal. But the great blue whale is the largest, which reaches the size of over 100 feet long, twice the length of this building. 200 tons. How many fish does it take to feed one whale? I'll tell you. 8,000 pounds of shrimp a day. Who feeds him? Who feeds him? So this clearly declares our Creator things like such as this. Fowl. How many birds are there? How diverse? Job 41. Look again here in Job 41, verse 13. I'm sorry, verse... got it wrong here. Job 40. Well, I wrote it down wrong. I'm sorry. I wrote it down wrong. But he speaks of the fir tree. Well, we looked at that in Psalm 104, didn't we? The fir tree being the home of the birds and so forth. But that's Psalm 104. It says, "Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." And it speaks of the stork, the fir tree being his home, the eagle, his nest far above. Where is Christ in all this? We have been looking at Christ as a type in all of these things. Where is Christ a type in all of this? We cannot force things to be a type of Christ. Nor should you try. Though Christ himself compares himself to an eagle, doesn't it? He compares himself to an eagle, he compares himself to a mother hen. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a mother hen doth gather her brood." Scripture says he has eyes like a dove, and so on. And he gave the whale, or Jonah, that is, as the one sign to prove himself, that no sign will be given concerning the Christ except the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man spend those 3 nights in the belly of the earth. I know this. Where is Christ in all this? He's the Creator. That's where He is. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We may not be able to see a type of Him, but He is the Creator. He's the one creating these things. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians chapter 1, go over there quickly. Colossians chapter 1. These things that were created by Christ. He is very God and very God. Creator. God our Creator. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 16. Verse 15. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. That is the first image, the first bodily presence of every creature. Though He Himself was not created, yet He made Himself a body. And by Him, verse 16, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him, speaking of Christ, and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. All things consist. And while on this earth, He proved Himself to be the great Creator, the Master of the sea and the skies. I love the stories of our Lord walking, visiting His earth. And He proved that He was the Creator of these things, the Master of them. One time, they were in a boat together, He and His disciples. They had toiled all night and caught nothing. They didn't know where the fish were. Well, He did, because they belonged to Him. Just like the disciples did. He called them, called whom He would, and they came to Him, much like a shepherd does his sheep. And, He proved Himself to be master of the seas, knowing the fish. He called them into the net. Called them into the net. Later, one time, the disciples, who had to pay their taxes just like everybody else does, and they did not work a job and therefore did not have any money at the time and had to pay their taxes to Caesar, what was due to Caesar. Well, they came to Him and said, "Lord, what are we going to do about our taxes?" And that's ironic, isn't it? Today's the day. But He said, "Go down to the shore, the seashore, and cast in a hook." And I like to think there have been many ships that have been sunk at sea over the years, going through storms and so forth. The Lord raised a storm some years before this and had a vessel sunk in the ocean, and which was full of gold bullion or something. And He had a fish at the precise time go and swallow one of these coins. He said, "That's preposterous." No. It's Jesus Christ, is who it is. The Creator. Had a fish go and swallow one of these coins at the precise time on April the 15th and bring to Peter. Peter cast the hook in the shore, in the water, brought up that fish. It was the exact sum of money they owed for their taxes. You believe that? Well, that's what Christ said. That's what the Scripture said. Proving who He is. He's the master of the sea. Proved His mastery over it by walking upon it, by stilling it, much like you would a barking dog. He said, "Lie down, be still. The winds and the waves obey Him." What manner of man is He? No mere man at all. He's the God-man, the Creator. He had a dove one time. That's the fish. He had a dove one time. John the Baptist, being somewhat unsure that He was the Christ, the Lord had a dove land on his shoulder. The Lord told John that if whom you see the dove landing on his shoulder, that's the Christ. And He had a dove land on His shoulder to show John, much like He shows His people all things that declare His glory. "Yea, the heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork." Look at that. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We quote it quite often. We need to look at it. Need to know where it is. know where it is. As we began this by saying, God does not prove Himself to man. He reveals Himself. Why should He prove Himself? Psalm 8 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him anyway?" Why would he? Why should he? Why should he prove himself to a rebel? Huh? Why should God prove himself to a rebel? Like me walking through my yard, and there's an ant colony in my yard. Mind you, in my yard, and ants rarely look up. They have no consciousness whatsoever of human beings, really. Don't look up. Do not look up, and I'm walking through, and they're discussing among themselves whether or not I exist. And if I do, what they're going to let me do? Well, I just need to prove myself to these ants, don't I? I just need to prove to them. Why should I? That's what the psalmist says. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man that he visits him. But God, in his infinite mercy and grace and goodness and kindness, the great Creator in His love to His creature, did come to this earth in the form of His Son and did reveal Himself, not to all, but to some. Scripture says He'll not cry or cause His voice to be lifted up on the street. He's not trying to get anybody to believe in it. God's not trying to get anyone to believe in Him. That's why He's silent. That's why He doesn't speak out loud. Men say, if God exists, why doesn't He just tell everybody? He doesn't have to. Look at Romans 1. It says, verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," or to them, "clearly revealed. God hath showed it unto them. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power in Godhead. Man's without excuse, but, as we said, man doesn't want a God, because if he's God, that means, if he's a creator, that means he owns us. If he's a creator, that means he's our judge. And, well, man doesn't want an owner or a judge. Verse 21, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." What does God require of man? Just to thank him. Just to thank him. "Neither were thankful, but became vain," or ridiculously foolish, "in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, their understanding, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools." As I said, they're still looking into black holes. What's in a black hole? Blackness. At any rate, "they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man." Got it so backward. Man's so backward, so foolish, he's made man into God and God into a man. "And birds and four-footed beasts, men have worshipped creatures down through the years of all sorts, shapes, form, and sizes, and the sun, the moon, the stars, and so forth, rather than the one who created them. And so wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Man became like a writhing maggot," the scripture. That's what worm means. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie," that is God's word, God's truth, "rejected it. And they worshipped and served the creature, calling it Mother Earth, and worshiping her rather than Him, more than the Creator, who's blessed forever." And it goes on to say how God gave them up, and the state of man is clearly seen also, isn't it? You reject your Creator, He rejects you. He rejects you. Clearly seen. "Yea, the heavens declare His glory, the firmament showeth His handiwork." That's Psalm 19. "Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge." Day and night. There's no language. No speech or language where the voice of wisdom, the voice of creation, is not heard. And the line has gone throughout all the earth. And chiefly among them all, it's that great bridegroom in the sky, the Son of Righteousness, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Fish and fowl, marvelous creation of our marvelous Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory. Okay.